The following sermon was delivered by Associate Pastor Werner Ramirez during morning worship at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. We welcome you to worship with our vibrant community of faith every Sunday on the corner of Fifth Avenue and 55th Street in the heart of Midtown Manhattan. And now, here is Reverend Ramirez.
Please join me in prayer. Holy Spirit, may you fill your presence in this room. May you speak. Remove me if you need to. In your name we pray. Amen. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, starting at verse 1. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make 3 dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from a cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except for Jesus alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. This is the word of God for you, the people of God." Friends, I have a confession to make. I don't have a sermon for you this week. It was a really busy week, the Confirmation Sunday, and I just didn't have time to write a sermon. But I brought in a special guest speaker. It's actually probably better coming from him because he was actually at the Transfiguration. So if you just bear with me for one moment, let me grab my friend Peter and I'll be right back. Hello? Can you hear me? What's your name? Peter, nice to meet you. What's your name? Jeff? Peter, the apostle. Nice to meet you. Hello, I'm Peter. I am one of Jesus's disciples, and I bet you didn't expect for Peter to look so Guatemalan and so good looking. But my dear friend Werner asked me to come to speak to you about one of the craziest experiences that I've ever had in my life. I think you just read about it from my friend Matthew. He's a good friend of mine. He makes me look kind of dumb sometimes, but that's okay, I forgive him. So this experience I had on this mountaintop, let me tell you. One day Jesus took myself and James and John, we went onto this mountain, and I'm gonna warn you, what I'm about to say seems unreal. It's mysterious, and you might even think that I'm making it up. But I ask you to trust me. Hear me out. This crazy, unbelievable thing happened before my eyes in which I saw Jesus light up. And he's talking to the prophet Moses and Elijah. And then the presence of God began to speak out loud. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I realize how crazy this all sounds. But this is part of my story, and I would like to share it with you. But before I start there, you need to know a little bit about myself and what happened 6 days before this mountaintop experience. First of all, you should know that I am a fisher by trade. This is a noble occupation to have, but what I and other little boys wanted to be growing up was to follow the steps of a rabbi. Rabbis are the coolest. I think in your day, many little children look up to actors or athletes. But for us, it was the rabbis. And we would train to be like them. and they only wanted the best and the brightest. The older we got, the more of us they started to weed out. And once we got told to go home, we would join our family trade. So you guessed it, I fish for a living. I got weeded out a long time ago. So then Jesus, this rabbi, sees me fishing. He comes up to me and he says the words that everybody wants to hear from a rabbi. Follow me. So of course, I drop my nets and I follow this guy. And let me tell you, the group of disciples he picked was a ragtag team of disciples. He picked a zealot and a tax collector. In your day, that's like having an ultra-liberal anarchist with a corrupt politician all on the same team. Now, that's just a little background about who I am and the people that I hang out with. And yes, we follow Jesus. We see him give this incredible sermon on this mount. He teaches us how to pray. We see him do miracles. We see him get tested by the Pharisees and Sadducees and teachers of the law. And then 6 days before this wild experience, we ourselves had a crazy week. And Jesus asks us, who do people say that I am? So we tell them the truth. We tell them what people are saying about him. We tell them that some people think he's Elijah. Some people think he's John the Baptist or Jeremiah or some kind of prophet. And then Jesus looks at me dead in the eye and says, but who do you say that I am? And in full confidence, I say to him, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You see, we have been waiting for a Messiah, someone to rescue us, someone to take down Rome and put us back into position. And I believed it was Jesus. So I tell him, yes, I think you are him. I think you're the Messiah. And he looks at me and he says, you are Peter. On this rock, I will build my church. And I'm absolutely glowing from this. I have an extra strut to my step because of the affirmation he just gave me. But I still think Jesus is the type of Messiah that is coming to fight, to take down the Romans. And I'm ready to pick up my own sword and fight. I'm ready to rise up. But then Jesus tells us that once he gets to Jerusalem, that he will endure great suffering, that he will be killed and then raised from the dead. But I'm Peter. He just told me that I will be the person that starts this church. So I say, no, this is not going to happen on my watch. Nobody's going to kill you. And then he tells me to get behind him and that I'm only thinking of human things and not godly things. And I am just so confused. Moments ago, he tells me that I will be the rock in which he will build his church. And then apparently I say something dumb and he calls me Satan and tells me to get behind him. Again, I am so confused. I don't know what he means about resurrection and suffering and dying. I am so confused and my head is spinning and I think Jesus can sense that. So we go on this retreat. He takes myself and these two young brothers, James and John, we call them the Sons of Thunder. And we go to this mountaintop. And I kid you not, Jesus just becomes radiant. I have never seen anything like it. His face is like the sun. His clothes are dazzling white. And I know this is really hard to believe, but this is what I saw. And then things just get even crazier. Then Elijah and Moses appear, and the three of them are talking together. Yes, I know it sounds crazy, but I saw Moses. Yes, the Moses that led the people out of Egypt. I don't know how I knew it was him, but it was Moses. And then there was Elijah. Yes, that Elijah who ascended into heaven in the book of Kings. All three of them in the same place, and I'm just astonished. And I panic a little bit. And when I panic, I tend to ramble and ramble. I got overly excited and I shot off at the mouth. I've never had a group of friends like those three before. So I talk and I talk. And can you believe it? I interrupt them. Elijah and Moses and Jesus are talking and I interrupt them. And I say, well, this is really awesome. I would like to stay here forever. So can I build a house for you and for you and for you? And then a cloud starts to overshadow us. And a voice from the cloud says, "This is my son, the beloved. And with him, I am well pleased." I wasn't there when Jesus got baptized. But I know those were the exact same words that were said to him at his baptism. But the voice didn't stop there. The voice commanded us to listen to him, to listen to Jesus. Now, this might be a little embarrassing, but that voice, it scared us. It really, really scared us. The Gospels won't tell you this, but I may have peed my pants just a little bit. What Matthew will tell you is that the voice scared us so much that we fell to the ground. We fell to the ground, it scared us. But then Jesus, with such comfort, gently touches us and says, "Get up, do not be afraid." And then we look up and we could only see Jesus. And then we knew it was time to start walking down the mountain. As we walked down, Jesus says to us, "Don't tell anybody about what you saw until the Son of Man was raised from the dead." I'm telling you, this was hands down one of the craziest experiences I have ever had. But here's the thing. I wanted to stay on that mountaintop. I wanted to dwell there and hang with Jesus and Moses and Elijah. I wanted to stay on that mountaintop, but we had to come down. We had to come down because Jesus had work he needed to do. I didn't know it at the time, but I had work that I needed to do. You see, Jesus had to come down the mountain. He couldn't stay there. For the sake of reconciliation and redemption of all things, he had to come down the mountain. I thought Jesus was ready to fight to be the Messiah we were all expecting. But it turns out that Jesus' power showed up in weakness. And I witnessed that in his death and resurrection. What I saw after we came down the mountain was that the Lord became a servant. And that servant became the Lord. It's so interesting comparing what I saw on the mountain with what I saw on the crucifixion. On the mountain, I saw him in full glory. He was completely lit up. And on the crucifixion, he was in complete shame. On the mountain, his clothes were dazzling white. But at the crucifixion, he was completely stripped. On the mountain, there was a voice from the heavens that shouted. And at the crucifixion, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then there's me. On the mountain, all I could do was talk about how good this was. But that night at the crucifixion, I denied him 3 times. But if I just think about his death, I wish we could have stayed on the mountain. It was great there, no distractions, just pure bliss. But we had to come down the mountain. And if I only talk about his death, the story doesn't end there. The reality is that I was able to see Jesus' glory on the mountaintop and then once again at his resurrection. I didn't get it at first. I didn't understand why we had to come down the mountain. But now I see the service he did by coming down. I see the service he did and the service that I am called to. The church did rise up after the resurrection. And by the looks of it, the church is still rising up. I hear that you live in a time of much division. I hear that you live in a time which despair is more easily found than hope. I get it. I completely understand that. So whether you have had a mountaintop experience or not, know that the story does not end at death. God is in the business of redeeming all things. Jesus came down the mountain, and we must follow him in service. What will it look like for you to follow Christ? I'll tell you, it was a wild ride for us in the early church. We had to take many risks, and many of us sacrificed our own lives for the sake of following Jesus. We had to readjust our thinking and realize that Gentiles were people made in the image of God as well. We had to sell our possessions so that other people can eat. God is still at work in redeeming the world and calls you just like Christ called me. So I implore you, just like these confirmation students will do in just a few moments, to follow Christ. It is a wild ride, but it's a good ride, one that is filled with hope. Amen. My friend left without saying goodbye. How rude of him. Friends, hear this benediction. May you go out into the world to follow Christ, to do his work with God. As you leave, may you know that you are deeply, deeply loved. Amen.
We hope this sermon has been meaningful to you and provided a message of hope, encouragement, and good news. If you are in New York City, we invite you to visit our historic church and join us for worship. You will find our address, worship calendar, and other information on our website, fapc.org. If you would like to help support this audio ministry, please text the dollar amount of your gift, followed by the word sermons, to 646-491-8331. Again, that is the amount of your gift, followed by the word sermons, to 646-491-8331. Thank you.